Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight, that number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World. Hello, Long Beach, and welcome to another edition of Swoop's World on blogtalkradio.com. And you got Swoop here. Peter, you there?
I am here. How you doing, Swoop?
I'm doing good, man, and looking forward to tonight. We got Yancey Butler who's going to be our guest, an actress, as a lot of you know, was the star of a TV show back in the day called Witchblade. She's been acting for quite a while and got a lot of things going on and some new things coming up. So this should be pretty interesting to talk to her. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. And radio is her calling. She has just a great, sexy, sultry voice. So it'd be a pleasure to talk to her and listen to her talk. So it'd be fun.
Yeah, it was cool. I got to meet her a couple months ago at a friend's house, Michelle's house. I think it was a birthday party, and she's totally cool. And got to talk to her a little bit, and she said she'd come on the show and make for a decent interview. You know, last night, last week we talked about the Arts Council and the City Council's motions for those art initiatives, and I went last night and checked that out, and looks like they all did that. So I think that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, you know, you are a real trooper, man, because you sat through most of a city council meeting, and that's no small feat. If you're not getting paid to do it, that is a tough thing to do, man. So kudos to you.
Kudos go to Sean, because I drug my little boy out there with me. That.
Oh, man. He's good. There you go. Civic lessons for him, man, but he's going to hate you for life for that. Those are tough meetings. They're tough. I got to believe. Did he have his, he probably didn't even have his, like, little BS or anything to play with. He probably made him sit there and listen.
Yeah, he did his homework, and he listened a little bit. But, the cool thing is we've drug him around to so many different things. He sits there and he goes, "Oh, there goes Mayor Foster, there's Ray Gablich, there's Tonya." So he knows who they all are, and he's met them all at one point or another.
By the time he's like 25 or 30, he's going to be the most connected kid in town, man. He's going to have met all these people already.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So what else has been happening?
Well, not much. So I want to know, were you happy with what they said about the arts and the Blue Ribbon panel, and what can we expect from the art initiatives?
Well, you know, they're out there. They're going to work on things. Some of the stuff was kind of, what we kind of expected. The Blue Ribbon panel, I think, is the city council's been directed to get with the Arts Council and find the 9 members for this panel and see what they can do to, make Long Beach one of the more art-friendly communities in the state. So, we'll see how it goes. I got a kind of a wait-and-see attitude. You and I have sat through enough meetings, like Doug said last week, where people do a lot of talking, and I'd like to see some of these things come to fruition, so... Well, I'm not gonna judge it yet. It sounds good. Let's see what happens.
There you go. Anything else interesting happened on the floor there? Was there any? There weren't any brawls or anything.
No brawls. there's some interesting stuff. There's an interesting thing about the Hooters restaurant. And you know what? We'll talk about that on the back end. Let's not keep Yancey waiting. Let's go to our first break and then let's bring her up. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. That sounds a plan.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with our guest, Yancey Butler.
On this week's Friends of Swoop's World segment, we spotlight two local businesses, Alfred's English Gardens and Richco Gates. Kathy Alford of Alfred's English Gardens was recently chosen by the City of Long Beach Water Department to help educate homeowners about alternative low-water garden options. Visit the website and click on eSmart Gardens for case studies and photo galleries of gorgeous gardens in Long Beach. Go to www.kathyalford.com. Richco Gates. Richco is a local builder that specializes in locally handcrafted outdoor woodwork built specifically for each client. Richco believes in doing a great job and having fun in the process. He builds gates in a variety of styles. Check out the photo gallery at richcogates.com for more information. If you'd like to become a friend of Swoop's World and have your business mentioned on our air, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And back to our guests right after this.
And welcome back to Swoop's World on blogtalkradio.com. If you want to join in the conversation, it's 917-889-7449. You can also join us on our chat line. And we're going to be bringing up our guest right now. Tonight's guest is Yancey Butler. Yancey, are you with us?
I am indeed. How you doing, Swoop?
I'm doing good. Good. Thanks for coming on with us tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's great.
Yeah, you know, I just hope I'm more interesting than the city council meetings, but other than that, well, I guess Sean, your son, will be the judge of that.
Right. Yes, absolutely. He is a critic.
Yeah, excellent. And Peter, thank you for the kudos on the voice thing. I appreciate that. I'm trying to make it deeper, but we'll see how tonight goes.
It's working great. You're doing
excellent.
Great.
Excellent.
Well, you know what, Yancey, usually when we start off, we kind of give our listeners a little background on our guests. So
sure.
Why don't you just tell everybody a little bit about where you're from and how you got started in the business, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Well, I was born and raised in New York City, actually in Greenwich Village. I still live there. Gosh, my mother company managed a lot of Broadway shows, and my dad is still playing with the Love and Spoonful, so it was like the last family business they really wanted me to go into, and went to Sarah Lawrence College and became a scholar and decided to do this anyway. So I'm not quite sure why, but I'm having a good time, and, you know, I do a lot of action stuff, and some of my better-known things are Drop Zone with Wesley Snipes and Hard Target with Jean-Claude Van Damme, and you mentioned Witchblade, and so I pretend I can kick ass and take numbers there, Swoop. So, you know, I'm not quite sure, but seems to be working. I'll kick for as long as they let me.
There you go. Well, hey, that it sounds like you got a good start. I mean, you got the rock lifestyle going on. You got the Broadway, the Great White Way, and so it must have been an interesting childhood.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I haven't been a child since I was about 7. You know, you grow up in New York City pretty quickly, but it was I was definitely around the arts my entire life, and of course they're happy now, but it was like, don't go in the family business, become a, you know, a dentist or something, I don't know, or at least marry one, but both of those things didn't happen. But the night's still young, so we don't know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, your life wouldn't have been anywhere near as interesting had you done that, I imagine. Yeah, I got to believe you've had some fun times and some interesting stories. Are you happy with where your career's gone and taken you?
Absolutely. You know, it's been a bumpy ride. I mean, I started out by, I did a series for Dick Wolf years ago called Man and Machine. It was one of my first series, and I got to tell you guys, I was created. It was a character that was the most. She was the most gorgeous genetically created robot in the world. So you can only go downhill from there, really. I was fresh out of the gate at 21, and being the most beautifully created thing ever. You take a fall, but it's been a good ride.
I'm looking at your thing here on the internet. It looks like you play a lot of detectives and sergeants and things of that nature.
Yeah, I either play law enforcement or just complete mess ups. But you know, it's never down the road, middle of the road stuff for me. But I like playing cops. You know, my grandfather was a cop. I'm Irish, so of course my grandfather was a cop, and my cousin's a cop on the force, and who, you know, those that aren't cops are firemen. So there you have it. But but yeah, so playing law enforcement is you know, it can be fun. It can be fun.
Yeah, that I know. That I know for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so in case you did know, and you ever need some tips in this regard, this is probably the one area we can help you. Swoop was Swoop was LAPD for 21 years.
Detective I did not know
twice.
That.
Yes, yeah. So.
God,
yeah,
I just play one on TV.
Yeah,
there you go.
You happen to need some info there. He can give you some insights.
Oh, that's wonderful. I did not know that.
Yeah,
little known secret, right?
Yeah.
I'm usually the one to have to tell people.
Yeah, you usually do. Now, I understand you got something coming out, or you just completed something recently that's due out this year.
Yeah, there's this Nicolas Cage film called Kick-Ass. It's based on a graphic novel, and I play this actually his nemesis. I play the wife of this mob boss who's Nick Cage's nemesis, and it's really fun. And I did not know this, but the person who plays my son was actually Mick Lovin on Superbad. I just saw that recently, and I was like, "There's my son."
Yeah.
So yeah. So, but it's very funny, and it's very well written, and I get to, you know, it's always fun for me to have long red nails and wear. If I'm wearing a skirt, it's a different part. So it should be really great. I think it's coming out in April.
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. It should be fun.
So what was that like compared to say, doing a TV show? I mean, I got to believe, like, the whole system is different, isn't it? I mean, that's what I read, anyhow, is that it's
yeah,
totally
it
different
is,
stuff.
It is different. You know, I always like in series, you know, doing a television series to the I Love Lucy episode where, you know, Ethel and Lucy are on the conveyor belt of chocolates is going by and they can't eat them fast enough, you know, when they're shoving them in their pocket. That's television usually, where you're working, you know, 17 hours a day, and you can never go quickly enough. And in film, more or less, you know, I'm making huge, broad paint strokes, but you tend to have a little more time to work on the character, and certainly on the scene. You know, you're not doing 15 pages a day; you're doing, say, 4 pages a day. So, it's a little more humane for everybody involved. But yeah, everything was it was totally different because we were filming in London. And, you know, they drive on the wrong side of the street, so that was just weird. But
yeah, I almost got creamed. I almost got creamed in London. I don't know, that was like 15, 20 years ago now, and I did the typical American thing. I looked left and right and left again, stepped out, and my God, there was a car there. Imagine that.
You're right.
It was on the wrong side.
Do you know, they now they have arrows. Like for stupid Americans like myself, they actually have arrows saying, look this way.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I still almost got hit by a car, but I don't get paid to think. But yeah, it was something. You know, I did the total touristy thing when I was there. I had one day off, and I actually, for the first time in my life, I got on a tour bus.
Oh, cool!
It was fun. You get to see a lot of the city.
I
felt lame, I did see a lot of the city.
Yeah, and they tell you so much, and you see them wait, because it's not as big as L.A., but it's big enough that, you know, walking it is not necessarily an option if you want to see everything in a short amount of time. So those buses are cool. They're kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan now. I really am. I dig them.
I've only been on one tour bus, and I wasn't that impressed.
<You're right. laughs> Maybe we'll get on a tour bus of L.A.,
Yeah, that's what I was when I was a teenager in high school. I jumped on one of those buses, the tour that takes you to all the stars' homes, past all the stars'
oh,
homes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that was a waste of my money.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's way better than those star maps.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Gosh.
Well, so now between the TV and the film, what do you prefer? Do you have a preference?
You know, it really depends on the project. I mean, there's nothing like being on your toes and you know, doing a series and just moving as quickly as possible. But you know, I just like to storytell. You know, and whatever medium I can do that in as well as possible and as entertainingly as possible, whether that be making somebody cry or laugh, you know, that's where I get my kicks. I mean, I love storytelling.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, it's real life and imaginary circumstances. That's what I was taught. So, you know, you've been on several series and a couple of ones that I really liked. I really like Brooklyn South, and I see you were a NYPD Blue and things like that. Are you in a position now where you get the call? I know myself because I do some acting, but I spend most of my time, you know, submitting myself. Are you in a you're probably in a position where you get a lot of calls and you don't have to do as much of your own submitting, do you?
Right. I mean, and that took some time, but actually, yeah, I just found out last night that I might be leaving for Bulgaria Friday. So, yeah, calls come in. I don't know if I'm going to be doing that, but yeah, so it's nice to be in a position. I think that's why finally I moved back to New York. I mean, to be quite honest, everybody around me was doing what I do for a living, as I'm sure you know. I mean, it's you know, we can be really egomaniacal and boring. We could be a little boring there. So I hightailed it back to New York to be with my family. And yeah, when you do get in a position where you're getting phone calls and everything, it's nice because I'm, you know, it's hard to sell yourself all the time.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of work, but that's a good position to be in. Absolutely good position to be in. So
it is.
You know,
I'm very blessed.
Tell us about some fun stories or some things that you've done that you really, really enjoyed because you've been in so many different things. What sticks out in your mind is a memorable experience?
Oh God, I mean, I have so many stories of so many people, and you know, I remember actually on that show, Man and Machine, I remember, you know, being a robot. I remember Dick Wolf, who, of course, does all the Law and Orders and everything. I don't know why I'm actually going to say this on radio, but he came to my trailer and he knocked on the door, and it was about 7 o'clock in the morning. And I said, "Hey, Mr. Wolf, how are you? Would you like to come in?" And he was staring at me and he said, no. And I said, "Well, what can I do for you?" And he was looking at me and he said, "I hear you have a pimple." And I said, "Yeah, I do have a pimple." And he was looking at me, "Robots don't have pimples." I said, "You got to be kidding me." Yeah, and apparently they don't have nipple erection either. That was a network note that went around. Try to get in a pool at 2 o'clock in the morning in Malibu and see what happens to you. So, yeah, you know, it's a funny business, but you know, stories like that abound. I mean, I've had, you know. There's some doozies, yeah. There are some things that have happened, but it's only in our business. I've had talks with my lawyer and 20 other people about, you know, different angles that you can shoot various parts of my bodies, and I don't get that much, you know, sweet talking when I'm, you know, betting somebody. So this is not, you know, thank God I'm in this business. It's the most action I've seen in weeks. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, there are tons of stories like that. I mean, you know, working with Gary Busey is a whole episode in itself. God bless him. I love Gary. Yeah.
Now he seems like he'd be a lot of fun to be around.
He's a blast. You know what? He's a sweet, sweet man. He really is. He's like a bull in a china shop, but he's a really sweet guy. Yeah, with the tact
cool.
of one as well, but he's a great guy. Yeah.
Now, with your dad being a musician and stuff, are you musically inclined at all?
I can't carry a tune for the life of me. They pay me not to sing. It's right. This is my mother's voice, believe it or not. You should, and it goes higher up in octaves as the matriarchal society goes on. I mean, you should hear my grandmother. It's frightening.
Yeah.
But now we know the true reason. Horrible. Now we know the true reason you went into acting, right?
Yeah, right.
You couldn't sing.
It was either that or phone sex, so I figured why not? And again, and I'm still young, so I don't know. I'll kick for as long as they let me. There's a joke there, too, but I don't think I'm allowed to say that on the air.
It's the internet. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
Internet radio. That's right. Don't hold back on our account.
Yeah, right.
That's why we do this this show after 9 o'clock, because the kids are in bed.
Yeah, really.
Oh, my God. Hey, you know what? Let's go to another break, and then we'll come back and get back into this.
Absolutely. I'll be here.
Sounds good.
Hey, Long Beach, is that time again for Happenings in the LBC. Tomorrow, 9 a.m., Cal Heights Clean Team. Beautify Bixby Knolls in Cal Heights. Every Thursday, the Cal Heights Clean Team gets together and picks up debris around the neighborhood. Meet at 8:30 a.m. at Granny's Donuts, located at 3399 Atlantic Avenue. At 6 p.m. tomorrow night, Downtown Retail Visioning Meeting. The DLBA and RDA are hosting their final community meeting to discuss strategies for a vision of downtown. That takes place at the First Congregational Church, located at 241 Cedar Avenue. On Friday at lunchtime, 10 to 20% off for cyclists. Ride up on your bike and get a discount at various local restaurants. Some that include are Allegria Cochina, Pizza Pie, and Chipology. For a complete list of participating restaurants, check out limelightlb.com. Friday at 6 p.m., First Friday's Long Beach in Bixby Knolls. Check out all the happenings, all the art, music, and entertainment going on up and down the avenue there. And at 8 o'clock, Swoop's World will begin broadcasting live from the Mirage Mediterranean Grill, where Michelle Mangione will be performing. Saturday from 9 to 5, Aquarium of the Pacific 6th Annual Sustainable Seafood Day. Enjoy cooking demonstrations by a host of local top chefs from Primal Alchemy, Delia's Restaurant, McKenna's by the Bay, and many, many more. Sample sustainable treats. Saturday, 8 p.m., The Human Interest Story at CSULB Players Theater presents, and that cost is $12 to $15. This mesmerizing, unflinching portrait of a nation obsessed with voyeurism begs the question, is it our imagination more unforgiving than reality? Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m., 9th District Election Forum. All 9th District candidates meet and discuss their vision for the city. That's going to take place at the Community Presbyterian Church at 6380 Orange Avenue. Do you have an event, organization, or activity that you would like us to mention here on Swoop's World? If so, email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Swoop's World on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. We're here every week where we're interactive, live, and archived. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and download us on iTunes. We're happy to have with us tonight Yancey Butler, an actress and a movie star, TV star, as our guest. And we have a question for you, Yancey. Somebody wants to know if you have a personal website that they can go to.
I actually do. It's you know what? But I can't believe I forget the name of it. You got to look under Yancey Butler official site, and it will give you the name of the site of what it is. I think it might even be officially Yancey Butler. But
right.
I don't know that. Isn't that frightening? I just set it up across the bridge of the 21st century.
Yeah, welcome to the 21st century, huh?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was out for a little bit, but yeah, across the bridge, and there is an official site, and have a good time on it, caller, because let me know how it is. I don't know.
I just found it. It's Yancey, for anybody listening and not on the chat. I put it in the chat room as well. It's YanceyButlerOfficialSite.com. So. We'll have to check that out, of course.
Thank you. That makes sense. It's as catchy as all that, is it, Peter?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Well,
not
at
all.
I got that question tweeted to me. So that was actually from Carrie from the Prime Spot, who normally moderates our show. She couldn't be with us today, but she's following us on Twitter and she's listening to the show.
Oh,
hey, we have somebody who wants. We have a caller that wants to ask a question. You up for taking some calls or answering?
Absolutely.
All right. Here we go. Let's see here. Hey, you're on the air at Swoop's World.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. I heard the word on the street is that Yancey Butler's on the internet giving phone sex, so I thought I'd check it out.
I actually recognize this voice.
How much are you offering?
Hi, Yancey. It's Steve. How you doing?
I'm dying, Steve. I'm doing great. How are you?
I couldn't resist. I had to call in.
I love that you did.
Well, you guys get back to business. Have a good night. See you later.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Bye-bye. You're the best. Love you. Hi to Paula. I paid him to do that.
There you go.
Those that don't know, that's Steve Soest, and he plays bass in, with Michelle Mangione. And
yes.
Since he called up, we can mention this. Friday night is First Fridays here in Bixby Knowles, and Michelle Mangione will be playing at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill, and Soups World Radio, Peter and I will be there broadcasting live from the event.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I wish I could make it. Michelle Mangione is one of my best friends, and isn't she just the most talented? She's just incredible.
She is.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And she was actually the first. Yeah, wasn't she the second person we interviewed? First person? And either way, her show still to this day is the most popular show. Have had the most downloads and the most listens yet. Although I suspect you might rival her.
Well, I offered phone sex, so I mean that's not a difficult feat, but Michelle is just, I mean, she's just so talented, and I went to see her play at the Brixton the other night, and man, she just continually surprises me with she's just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I got a funny story. About Michelle is, way back when I opened a coffee house, and Peter and I ran a coffee house. And Michelle walked in one day shortly after I opened the house, and then she says, hey, are you going to ever have musicians play? And I said, oh, yeah, we're looking for local musicians to play. And she says, well, I'm working on a CD. When I get done with it, is it okay if I play? And I said, oh, we'd love to have you. And, we had some local musicians play, and they were cool.
I can only imagine.
And then,
they were nice people.
And then,
nicest people, yeah.
And Michelle showed up and played, and it was just amazing. I could have never have anticipated the quality of not only musician, not only the product she puts out on CD, but just the person she is. And it's wonderful knowing her.
Oh, she's just an incredible, beautiful soul, and her imagination, and she's just, I love her music.
Yeah.
But yeah, a funny story along those lines is she's not a morning person, and she got dragged in to the coffee house one Sunday morning, and she was in there for 5 or 10 minutes as she ordered, and I made her drinks, and all the while we had her music playing in the background.
Right.
And about, she was there for at least 10 minutes before she said, hey, this is me. I'm singing. She was just stunned. It was just one of those moments. She's just like, well, how cool is that?
She's so sweet. I can totally see that happening. Being that I have been a guest in her house, yes, I know that for a fact. She's not a morning person.
Yes.
Somehow as beautiful as she did when she went to bed, so I'm not quite sure how that goes down. But I was getting ready with her when she was playing at the Brixton, and she was doing her makeup, and I was like, you'd think I'd pay attention for the last 21 years how people make me up. I said, you do better makeup than I do. I was trying to take some tips, but it didn't go over very well.
See, you're in a good position. All you have to do is sit there.
Yeah, right. Yes, it's pretty easy. Yeah, I can actually not be a morning person and just roll out of bed. You'd be astounded at what I look like in the morning. And makeup goes a long way. 2 hours later, I have the natural look.
Uh-huh. It's all about making that call time. Exactly. Now, yeah. I played a little game with your name because I had to do mine too, but. I played the Oracle of Bacon game with your name and see that you're just two degrees away from Kevin Bacon there.
Yeah, of course. In more ways than I can talk about. No, Kevin's a great guy. I actually had the pleasure of meeting him once through two friends of mine, Matt Dillon and Joey Pantaleone, and we went out to dinner, and Kevin's just a really, really sweet guy.
Wow. You know,
shame that happened with the whole Madoff. Oh, God, what a nightmare. But, yeah, Kevin's a really sweet, sweet man. I never had the pleasure of meeting his wife. But how many degrees are you away from Kevin Bacon?
Two. Come
oh,
on.
We're both two degrees?
We're both two degrees.
Wow. I didn't know they were still doing that.
Yeah, you know, see, if you get on the web, you can see that stuff. You know?
Yeah, right. I bet you can. Much to Kevin's pleasure, to be sure.
Yeah.
Now, let me get this right. You know Joey Pants? I love Joey Pants. I don't know him.
Joey Pants is one of my favorite people in the world.
Wow. Very
cool. Here's a funny story. He's got this office that's all full of wigs. from shows that he's worn. I swear on my dog's life. And you look up and there's one that has like two pieces of hair going the other way. And and we were at a birthday party one time. It was Christopher Maloney and myself, and Chris had just given him a hat for his birthday and it had a little mesh in it. And Joey gave it. He said, "You want this hat?" I said, "You know, Joey, that's a little rude. He just gave you the hat." And he goes, "Well, it has mesh in it." And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, people are going to see I'm bald. People are going to know I'm bald." I said, "The whole freaking world knows you're bald, Joey." Are you kidding me? I love Joey. He's a dear friend. God bless him.
You know, it's funny. You're funny you should say that. I used to work with a guy who wore a really bad wig, and he wore it for years. So one day he decided he wasn't going to wear it anymore, and he walked in the office, and somebody said to our boss, goes, "Hey, you like Roger's new hairstyle?" He goes, "That's his old hairstyle, isn't it?"
Right, exactly. Gosh.
He thought he had a fool for years. It was amazing. But,
I know. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, that's as bad as a comb over, man.
It's a comb over.
Oh, God, comb over is hideous. We got a question on the chat line there that wants to know, how'd you get so many muscles?
Oh, my gosh. Again, makeup goes a long way. I don't know. Stress. It's my least favorite diet, but it keeps me in shape. But, you know, you got to sport a couple. I mean, when you're pretending you can, you know, kick ass and take names, I mean, you got to sport a couple there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That brings a good question. A lot of actors and actresses they'll take a part where they have to spend months and months to train to get in shape to do. Have you had to have that, or are you just do you normally just stay pretty good shape, or has that come up?
Well, I did. I actually the best shape that I've ever been in my life. I did a dance film with Campbell Scott, Jennifer Beals, Patrick Stewart, Leslie Caron, and myself. It was a great cast, and it was a not very good film at all. we worked out. I played a dance instructor, and I had to learn how to do about 10 dances, both you know, everything from the cha-cha to the samba to everything, and lead them. And we spent about 2 months beforehand just working out and dancing. But little did I know, you know, I could have done that for Dancing with the Stars, but there we have it. But it was, yeah, so do I try to stay in shape? Yes, but as I get older, you know, the muscles that they're talking about and placing those muscles, they get lower. So I'm taking a little more lately. But, being in this business that we usually need you yesterday, you know, it's tough to keep in that kind of shape.
Right. You know, you just mentioned something, and that's a good question. I think a question that a lot of people have. What when you have such a great cast, and then the movie is just not that good? What do you attribute that to? The directing, the writing. I know it's a lot of different things and a lot of different times. What has been your experience with something like that?
Well, it's hard. You know, often a lot of things can go wrong. I mean, it can either be, you know, too many chefs in the kitchen in terms of their vision of what they actually want the show to be. In that case, it was way too many storylines. You know, it was hard to follow through on one storyline. And it was a shame because it had a great soundtrack. And actually, the woman who wrote Dirty Dancing had written and directed this, and they were just like, I don't know, like 18 A-line stories, and it just, I got confused, you know. And it's a shame because you can have real talent, and, you know, I don't kid myself about my career. I mean, often I'll get a call from my dad, and he'll say, you know, the movie was horrible, but you were really good, and I get it. You know, that's the true sign of being an actor or a somewhat decent actress is when you can actually turn, you know, a line that's just absolutely dreadful into you know, something that's somewhat believable. But so many different things can happen. I mean, there's so much great talent out there, and it's a shame because nobody's writing anymore. You know, it's all reality shows. So the stuff that does come out, it hardly gets a chance. And then certainly when you have the talent and just a storyline unravels or they don't have the money or the budget, it's really difficult.
Yeah. Now, how does that process work as far as does somebody approach you, they approach your agent, here's a script, read it, they like it? How does that whole thing work for those of us who aren't in the business?
Yeah, well, basically they approach, I have a manager and they approach her, or I'll meet somebody and I'll, you know, and I'll definitely, I love reading scripts. So it, you know, it really depends. It really depends.
Are you looking for a specific kind of role to play? Is that kind of how you, in your mindset, or are you wide open that way?
I'm wide open that way. I mean, that goes back to the phone sex, but I am wide open that way. I mean, again, you know, it's fun to play the parts like I did. You know, I just did a film that was called Wolvesbane or something on the Sci-Fi Channel where I play, you know, Lilith, who was like the vampire, you know. She was actually the first Eve. Apparently she got banished. But I had never played anything, you know, like that. So I did that kind of role. You know, I always do a role that I'll either learn something, you know, some part that I haven't played before, or I'll learn something, or, you know, in the case of the Kick-Ass film, to play this kind of Maul, you know, which I had never really done, with the accent and everything. It was really fun and you know, big hair. You know, so it's fun. I like to explore those different things. Sometimes it even comes down to I want to go to, say, Bulgaria, a place I've never been to, which I've been to Bulgaria, but, you know, or work with a particular director. So I'm really wide open to any possibilities.
Have you ever considered, or I shouldn't say have you considered, have you done any directing, producing, anything behind the scenes?
I've been starting to produce actually a series that my friend and I have written a treatment for, and I'd love to get into that side of things.
Yeah.
And certainly directing. I would like it a lot. And well, let me put it this way, to get the credit for doing it. I think I've been doing it for a while now, but to actually get the credit for doing it would be something else.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about The Love and Spoonful and your experiences hanging around that genre.
Oh, my gosh. It's so great. I mean, you know, my dad is like, you know, he's being a rock and roll. He's 5 years old. I mean, I spend the day with him. I need a nap. You know, he's got more energy than I ever did. And he's my best friend. He's my light and my whole soul. And unbiasedly, I love their music. I mean, it's, you know, it's good old jug band music. I mean, it's fun, and they have a really tight show now. You know, I was actually doing Witchblade when they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2000, and I think this past year in 2009 they got inducted into the Vocal Hall of Fame, and I'm just really proud of him. You know, he enjoys music, and he's somebody, he came from nothing and to teach himself how to play the drums. And you know, John Sebastian is not with them anymore, but has their full blessing. So my dad is off the drums and singing lead. And it's not one of those shows that you go and see and you see these old bands and you're like, oh, gosh, please don't play anymore. You know, it's really tight and it's fun. And, yeah, they play everything from, you know, 20,000 seaters to 300, you know, so it's... He's working more than certainly I am. I mean, he's you know, he's working all the time, and he's living his dream. I mean, he's having a great time.
You know, I gotta imagine as a kid, because, you know, I went with my dad to work one time, and he was an engineer, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world watching him work. I try to imagine what it's like seeing your dad on stage with, you know, 60,000 people screaming like crazy. What that's like as a kid.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because by the time I was born, the band had kind of broken up. But, you know, my first experience with that was, you know, I'd go to, say, a friend's house for dinner, and their parents would freak out, you know, and I didn't understand the big deal, but they would, like, you know, scream, and then, you know, and the inevitable would follow, which was they would run in with an album and point out my dad, who I just thought had a really round head. I didn't understand at all. And then they'd put his record on the, you know, and they'd start dancing, and I didn't really get it. And I was like, you know, and so, you know, but what I did grow up with was tons of stories. And, you know, when I was a baby, we sold our apartment and all of it in it to John Lennon and Yoko Ono because we had no money. You know, back in those days, people, the deals that they made were just atrocious with their musicians. So,
yeah,
you know, it was, but it was interesting. It was really interesting. And, you know, and between that and sitting, you know, in the wings of all of these Neil Simon shows and Tom Stoppard shows, and it was a trip. It was a trip.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna go to another break and we'll be right back after this.
Great.
And it's time to introduce you to some more friends of the show here at Swoops World Radio. Our newest member to Friends of the Show, By Art Studios Custom Framing, located at 2828 East 10th Street. Some of you may remember By Art Studios. It's owned and operated by Don Morishige, a recent guest here at Swoops World Radio. Don's a local mixed media artist and custom framer who oftentimes has events at her studio. Matter of fact, coming up April 17th, a 12-person group show located at By Art Studios Custom Framing. For more information, go to www.byartstudios.com or give her a call at 562-856-9095. Also like to mention Mark Hawkins and Ink Piece. Ink Piece, located at 3636 Atlantic Avenue inside the Copy House. Ink Piece sells environmentally responsible ink and toner cartridges for up to 70% less than the major office supply stores. So head on down, stop in, pick up a cartridge, tell Mark Swoops World sent you. If you'd like your business to be mentioned on Swoops World as a friend of the show, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com.
And welcome back to Swoops World Radio at blogtalkradio.com. If you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. You can always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And we're happy to have Yancey Butler, an actress, as our guest tonight. And, Yancey, we have another caller calling in, so we're going to go to that caller and see what they got for you, okay?
Excellent.
And, caller, you're on the air. This is Swoop.
Hey, quit talking about me like I'm not there.
Hey. What happened?
How you doing? Yes,
I'm good. How are you?
Michelle, I'm just calling to harass you on the air because I was.
You're the best, Michelle, the lovely and talented Michelle Mangione. Everybody,
I want to know who your favorite Chihuahua is.
That's Petey.
Uh huh. Yancey made an appearance at the animal shelter for us and brought a Chihuahua out that was an adopted Chihuahua that we happened to adopt. But yeah, his name was Petey.
Wait. And let me get this right. You got another dog?
No. We
oh.
Oh God, no. That was the last dog. That was the last one.
Oh.
We finally got it right. So yeah.
Yeah, aw. Petey's a snorter. Just so everybody know, Petey's a snorter. You pet him and he goes,
yeah.
It's really quite a turn on, actually.
Okay,
but I have
a legitimate question.
Well, there you go.
I actually have a legitimate question.
Shoot.
Well.
What was your favorite episode of Witchblade to do?
Oh, that's a good one. I think my favorite episode was the most challenging. I can't say it's my favorite. Was when I played about 5 different characters. I had to play all of these characters that the Witchblade had you know donned the wrist of, whether it be Joan of Arc or Cleopatra, and that was really difficult. But I think my favorite one was the movie that we did because I didn't know that we were going to be picked up in a series. So there was a beginning, middle, and end. So. That was I had a really good time doing that one. And certainly the one that Grace Slick was the Witchblade voice on. That one was fun.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, she was the Witchblade voice. It was really cool.
2 degrees of separation from Grace Slick.
That's right. Kevin Bacon.
I have no connection to Kevin Bacon whatsoever.
I actually beg to differ. Do that web thing with their names, Swoop.
Yeah. You know what? I could do that right now. hey, Peter, keep the conversation going because I can't type and talk at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you and you know Kevin.
That's right. That makes you a degree.
That's right. That's right. So she's 2 degrees as well.
Well, no, that's another degree, I think. So she's 3 degrees. Right?
That's right. See, I failed math. I was sick that day.
Twice removed. Right.
That's right. Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not in the computer there, Michelle. So it doesn't count.
Not official.
Yeah.
Not official.
Okay.
Now,
I
mean, you know,
Michelle.
Michelle, you have a gig tomorrow night, right? You want to talk about that real quick?
Real quick, because I want to hear more about Yancey. But thank you. Yeah, I'm doing playing tomorrow night at the Brixton South Bay in Redondo Beach, and I am actually opening up for the tribute to Ricky Nelson called Ricky Nelson Remembered, which is actually put on by his sons, Matthew and Gunnar, the identical twin sons of Ricky Nelson, and it should be pretty fun because they used to have really long, like Fabio hair. I don't know if you remember that they were blonde.
Lest
Fabio
we forget,
hair.
I remember.
Yeah,
I remember Nelson. Yeah, absolutely.
I know a lot of people that had a crush on both of them. It's like, you know, you get two for the price of one. So they actually are doing this thing, and they're supposedly really talented. I saw them online, and I'm looking forward to playing for them and meeting them and doing a show and hopefully embarrassing them with some of the facts that I've come up about them, and we'll see.
It should be awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to actually seeing their show and doing my show, but I really wanted to see their show, so it should be a lot of fun. So anybody that wants to come to the Brixton South Bay tomorrow night,
And then on Friday, Michelle, tell them about Friday.
Oh, Friday, we're doing a live Swoops World event at the Mirage. And you said something about that, Keith, at Peter.
Yeah.
Holy moly! I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Who am I talking to? somebody said something about it earlier, and we're doing Mirage Cafe first Friday, and all those people that I just mentioned are going to be there.
Every one of them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Swoop will be swooping in. He's saying, but you guys, thank you so much, and I'm gonna let you get back to your show. But Nancy, it's good to hear you.
I love you, Michelle, so much. Thank you.
All right. Bye, Swoop.
Thanks all in, Michelle.
All right. See ya. Bye.
I love her so much.
Oh yeah. She's
I'm so fortunate to have her in my life.
You know,
yeah,
I think we also
she's great.
Yeah. And,
I thought she was going to say, like, I have a real question. What are you wearing? But it was a lot deeper than that.
Peter's been holding out on that question for the last bit.
Oh, no.
I'll never tell.
Oh, gosh.
One question from the chat room. One of the questions is Yancey single?
Did I just giggle out loud? You know what? I am single. I am very single. Who's asking?
James is asking. It's from the chat room, so it's the person signed in as Jane says. So
there we have it.
There you go.
Yes, I am single.
Now, if you like, I could put your phone number out there, but you probably don't want that kind of a
chat. Yeah, no, not so much. You know what's really depressing, though? It's a lot easier answering if you're single than answering it to the doctor's office because, you know, I've never been married. I've been close, but I've never been married. And, you know, they always have single or married. And they're like, are you single or married? I go, single. I just break out in tears. They offer tons of antidepressants, so that didn't happen this time. But, yes, I am single. And thank you for asking. I'm flattered.
Yep. Well, now, you really want to hear something really crazy. Jane says, then followed up with, because obviously Jane says is listening, boys or girls. I don't know if we should even be going there, but she threw it out there. So.
Yeah, really. I am heterosexual. But, hey, you never know.
I think
again, the night's young.
I think you just crushed Jane says' world.
Oh no! And I've never even met Jane says her, his, him, her, Billy Bob Joe Matt. But they have to be beautiful inside.
There you go.
So it doesn't. I might be through with men. Actually, I have no idea. I don't know.
You're not the first woman to ever say that.
Yeah, right. True.
Oh God, Peter. There was one other question I saw there. Oh, there was. They wanted to know how you and Michelle met.
Michelle and I met actually through a mutual friend years ago, and we've been friends ever since. We've been friends ever. Right. We met through her dog, Petey. No, we met through a mutual friend, and we've been friends ever since. And she's just, I'm so blessed to have her in my life.
Sure.
I really am. Honestly, there are not a lot of people I like, and Michelle's definitely one of them. She rates right up there.
Yeah, no,
she's great. Absolutely. So, Peter, did you have something else?
I thought
you started to ask something. I thought I cut you off. Sorry.
I did. Now I forgot what that is. But I read somewhere that your grandparents were actors or in the theater or something like that. Is that true?
Yeah, my grandfather actually coined the term production stage manager. He became a general manager for the same. Whereas my mother was in charge of one show, he was in charge of basically the production of all of the shows for this one producer. And my grandmother was an actress. And then when she retired, she did some, they live out in East Hampton, Long Island, and she did some theater out there. And, I wasn't kidding when I said they didn't want me to go in the family business. But
That goes way back then, huh?
Yeah, it really does. But, it was definitely something growing up. In our house, in their house in East Hampton, we have all of these awards, and it's really nice. It's really nice. We actually have a fake Oscar as a doorstop, so. I trip over that constantly. I think Petey would bark at that often and frequently. No, please, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Petey barks at everything.
Petey does bark at everything. Yes, he definitely does. He definitely does. I don't know if he would bark at Kevin Bacon, though. We'd have to put Petey's name in the thing. But we'll find out. I had such a good time doing the show. This was so much fun.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on, and we thank you for joining us. And
oh my gosh, my pleasure! And please, everybody, go see Michelle's show.
They definitely will. Is there anything else you want to put out there before we let you go?
I don't think so. Just thank you guys for anybody who's listening for being a fan of not only Soup's World but of my work and you know, keep watching movies.
Excellent. Well, thanks a lot, Yancey.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
I really
you.
Had fun. Thank you for inviting me out.
Oh, it was a real pleasure to have
you. Soon.
Absolutely. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Hey, Peter. So, wow.
that was cool.
That was quite a ride, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very Yancey
cool.
can talk. She had some great stories, and you know, it was cool. It was cool. It's always great to talk to, you know, it's the radio. We need people to talk, and sometimes we've had some people on here that we had to kind of pull teeth, and that was, I probably just about one of the easiest interviews we've done, as far as just, you know, getting information. And she was great, I thought.
Absolutely. Hey, we have a caller on the line. We're going to go to this caller. Let's see if we can bring that caller up. There you go, caller. You're on with Suits Line. Hello. Hello. All right. We'll put them back on hold and back to it. It's what an interesting life. I mean, like you said, the grandparents were in the acting business, and father's a musician with a major band, and the mom working off Broadway. That's just kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah. Nothing. I can't relate to that. I guess we weren't nearly that interesting to people. I don't know. Maybe one day my kid will be going, you know, my dad was on the radio, but not for me. For me, I'm like, nice people, but we didn't do anything, interesting that way. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. That was cool. Hey, let's go on a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll go over a couple other things that have been happening in the city this week. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Welcome back to Swoops Road on blogtalkradio.com. If you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. You can always reach us on Facebook and Twitter. Tonight we had actress Yancey Butler as our guest, and she was fantastic. And if you missed that, you can also find us on iTunes. We're downloadable on iTunes. We have a caller on the line, and we're going to bring that caller up. And 206, I believe that's 266. You're on the line. Go ahead.
Hello.
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 Yeah, we got you.
Keith?
Yeah, this is Keith.
Hey, Keith, it's Lori.
Hey, Lori, what's going on?
You know what she also forgot to mention? She's got her movie coming. She's got her movie coming out next month with Nicolas Cage.
No, she did mention that. She did mention that. There's a movie coming out with Nicolas Cage. And,
right?
Yeah,
that's the Kick-Ass one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, I missed that part. Oh, my God, I'm listening to a feedback of me.
Yeah, you have to turn your computer down.
Okay, I was just calling to tell you guys that. Great interview. That was fun.
Thanks a lot, Lori.
We had fun doing it.
Very cool. Michelle's still listening to the feedback. I can't hear everything.
All right.
Talk to you guys
Thanks
later.
All right.
Talk to you, Lori.
That's real world stuff, man. I've listened to radio where I hear the guy say, "Hey, you got to mute your radio so we can hear you." That's right. You hear that feedback back there. It's kind of crazy.
Yep.
Getting back to, one of the things that you've been doing, Peter, that I think Swoops World listeners should know about, you've been writing articles for everythinglongbeach.com about the bikeways, and
right.
You've been testing them all out and giving some feedback on those. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on with that.
Yeah, so if anybody listened to the interview we did with Bernadette McKeever's, that was like a month and a half ago, I guess, 2 months ago.
December.
She talked about the, I mentioned to her about the bikeway signs that have been showing up. So anybody that's cycling or driving, you may have seen the bike weight signs show up. They look a bit like interstate signs, and they have a number. It says Long Beach Bikeway and a number. And when I asked her, I figured, you know, she would be the authority about these bikeway routes. Is there a map and all that? She said no. She didn't know of one. She'd seen the signs but didn't really know about them. So I took it upon myself to just go ahead and start writing about them. So I've been writing the routes. So far as I can tell, there are 70 routes, because that's the highest number I have found. And so my plan is to ride all these routes and then, you know, tell them, give everyone information about how long the route is, where they start and end, and just give a review about the route. And somebody, Tony Cruz, who's the bicycle ambassador for Long Beach, informed us that there is a map on the way at some point. We don't know when. There is a map on the way, and the people will be able to track down, you know, all these routes and find out how to get all across our city using the bike route. So my goal is just to review them all, or as many as I can. So anybody who's listening out there who knows certain numbers or whatever, you can go to everythinglongbeach.com and put a little comment in there. I think there's a post going up soon about all the routes we do have. I have about 20 of them listed in that post, and then as they get reviewed, that'll take you to different pages to read the review.
Very cool. And you know, the thing is, I think all of Swoops World's listeners should know that you know, Peter's kind of taking this upon himself to write all these routes and give his feedback on that, and it's very valuable, because you know, I've read a few of them. I've ridden some of the bikeways he's talked about, and it's accurate, you know, especially if you're out there biking with family and kids. You know, he takes that in consideration. So get a chance, take a look at that. And you know, we'd also here at Swoops World like to encourage everybody, everybody in the city of Long Beach, you know, let's how about a 1 day a week, if you can, to either bike, walk, or take public transportation, and kind of see if we can help the city move towards being a more bike-friendly, ped-friendly city.
Yeah, I think that would be an excellent idea. And, you know, it, not only would it be good for the city, traffic, environmentally, but, you know, healthy, obviously. Get out and get some exercise. And our city is definitely of the right size. You could definitely do some cycling and get to where you need to be in reasonable time.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, you've I thought what you've been doing so far has been really, really informative, because you know, not only have you mapped out you've written routes north and south, but also east and west, and you've given a little ideas on what's safe and for your family and what's not, and you know, it's good to know, because you can actually map out a route and head to a destination, as opposed to, you know, riding a big loop somewhere.
Yeah. Well, the idea, according to what Tony Cruz told us, was that it was based on a Netherlands system where you'd be able to print out a map, and then you'd be able to highlight it or mask out your route and on your map, and then you could take the map to your handlebars. And, you know, so that way you could literally just look down and say, okay, Route 17 is coming, this is where I make my left turn, or Route 20 is coming, this is where I make my right turn. So it's a great concept. We need the map to go with it down the road, but it's a great concept. So I just want to help out and do my part.
Yeah, and I think even it was even a little bit slicker, if I recall correctly. What he said, what they would do is you take the map, you map it out. And so you say, let's say the 33 to the 21 to the 57 to the 65. And it sounded like he would just take a piece of masking tape and just put those numbers on the tape that to your handlebar. And it just alleviates actually having to look at the map. You just know when you get to that number, you know, head the direction you need to head. And that's, you can stay moving.
Yeah. And one of the things I find really interesting about the route is that they do, like, just like when you're driving on the 405, it tells you 605 is coming up, next right. So, you know, you'll be riding along, like I was doing the PCH, that's Route 1. I was riding along, and it said, you know, Route 11, downtown. and that was right at Pacific. Interesting thing was, is when I turned on the Pacific, there actually wasn't any signs on Pacific. So my guess is they haven't gotten to it yet. They haven't put those signs on. But when, you know, when you're riding on PCH, you knew that, okay, this is 11 coming up here. So you actually get, like, advance notice with a lot of the signs, which is, again, really useful, as opposed to just the old-fashioned green sign, bike route. You know, they didn't really tell you where you were going. So it's a great concept. Down the road, we're going to need that map. But until then, everything Long Beach will have as many of those routes as possible listed.
Very cool. Well, hey, keep up the good work. Everybody, like I said, yeah, they pop up on Fridays. He posts a new one on Friday. So every Friday, you get a chance if you're interested in what's happening with the bikeways and the bike routes out there and Peter's take on them. You can find out on everythinglongbeach.com. Now, getting back to the city council meeting, you asked if there's anything else going on there, and this is an interesting thing. They were, Hooters, which was on Pine Avenue, let's call it the north end of Pine Avenue, where all the things happen, you know, between First and Broadway there. They left that location and moved down to the Pike. And apparently, when the Pike was envisioned, it was envisioned to be one-third food, one-third retail, one-third entertainment. So I guess a lot of the early lease people who've leased businesses there, as well as a lot of the residents in the area, have come to the knowledge that it's beyond that. It's almost, somebody actually called it a food court, a high-priced food court. So there was some discussion in the city council whether or not Hooters really had the right to be moving in there. And it was kind of interesting that they were coming down on this business who apparently signed a lease with the landlord of the landlord, and they've spent close to $2 million to build out their location to move in there. And I think the city council, Susan Lowenthal, and even the mayor realized that, you know, their gripe isn't with Hooters. Their gripe is with the company that leased to them. So
yeah.
I guess the city is going to kind of try to apparently crack down on the landlord there and make them jump through some hoops before they're allowed to lease to somebody else again, because, you know, I guess the approval part was coming up last night, and really they couldn't. It was almost impossible to say, no, you can't move in there after you've already had a lease that you signed 7 months ago and you've already spent, you know, close to $2 million of your own money building out the place. So that was kind of an interesting thing that you asked me what else was going on over there. That was kind of weird. That was kind of a weird back and forth discussion that they had on that.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, whatever. I know a lot of people don't like Hooters because of the things, you know, that all that implies. But the point is, at the end of the day, they had a legitimate lease. They put in a ton of money. They're going to hire people, you know, locals, and so they're providing jobs. All things considered, they're not the worst business you could have in there, and it's really not their fault. It's the fault of the DDR, right? They're the landlord. They're the one who managed the whole thing. And, you know, I like visually how all of that stuff looks, you know, the whole Pike development. But, you know, I ride my bike down there every Saturday with the family. And the only thing we stop in there for is we stop in the Borton occasionally and pick up a book. That's usually the bribe I got to get my kid to ride the 12 miles, 10 miles down there. You know, we'll get down there. If you don't complain, we'll get you a book, you know. And other than that, like I said, visually, I like it, but there's not much to draw me down there. And even the restaurants that are down there are, generally speaking, not restaurants I take my kids to. They're not terribly kid-friendly. And then on the other end of it, they're not. There's just not enough retail there to go and spend a day or even part of a day there.
Well, yeah, I think there's really hardly any retail there. I think there's the Long Beach clothing store and, I don't know, I think the Segway shop, but I don't need to buy a Segway.
Yeah.
So there's really not much retail down there. You're right, I go down there quite often, and it's strictly to go to the borders. You know, occasionally I'll stop in at islands, but you know, the people who were there who actually, you know, invested in the beginning and thinking that you know, they were going to be, their competition was only going to be a third of the space there. I could see where they have a gripe, because you know, there's, you know, you have islands. I think you have the Dubliner and there's a CPK and some other, you know, a couple other places there. So it's beyond my understanding, it's beyond the one third food by quite a bit in percentage wise. There's hardly any retail, and it's not one third entertainment. I think the only entertainment in that section there is the comedy store, right? Laugh Factory.
Yeah. Well, isn't there used to be a movie theater there? Is that still there?
Oh yeah, that's right. There's a movie theater there upstairs.
Right.
Exactly right. So
there's some.
It's limited.
It's limited. It's not, you know, it's not what they said it would be, I think, in the grand scheme of things.
No.
I don't know. I suppose somebody's making money, otherwise they'd be boarding things up. But again, as a Long Beach resident, I look at that and I go, well, it wasn't really geared towards Long Beach residents. To me, it looks like it's geared towards, you know, the convention center, and that's fine, I guess. I mean, but it just seems to me that it could have, or maybe should have, done something more in the way of really something that could work for the convention center and still at the same time draw Long Beach residents.
It's interesting that you say that, because even though the convention center is right there and they have a brand new hotel that's right there, that portion, you know, the Pike right there, I don't really think it draws a great deal from the convention. I believe the restaurants do, but if you cross the street over to it's Rainbow Harbor, you have, you know, quite a few more restaurants.
Yeah.
You got the aquarium over there. You have a few. You have a few kind of nightclubby type places over there. And then if you go northbound, kind of up the hill down Pine, you have a lot more to choose from. So I'm not even sure that the actual Pike right there draws a huge bit of the convention center business. I'm sure that the three restaurants that face the convention center do. The Dubliner, the CPK, and Islands. But I'm not sure if much more actually is a draw for the convention center.
Now that is the one thing that draws me down there, is the old Dubliner. Sometimes I don't mind hanging out there if I get a little extra, a lot of extra cash. Yeah, that's a fun place to hang out. I like my Guinness.
Yeah, sometimes a man needs a good pint of Guinness, right?
Pint of Guinness, yep. And they serve red breast Irish whiskey, which is one of my favorites too. So between that, I can spend a whole ton of money if I'm not careful down there. But that's the only place that. And, of course, the thing for me is I'd go wherever Old Dubliner is. So if they're there, that's great. If they up and move somewhere else, I'd probably go there too. So that's the problem for me for the Pike. It just is not a big draw.
As a kid, I remember the old Pike. And so, you know, I'm kind of nostalgic, you know. I mean, I kind of miss the, you know, the old kind of rundown look, but you know, I understand why they did what they did. It's all about tax dollars, brother.
Sure.
Hey, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go into our last break, and then we'll come back and wrap things up.
All righty.
And welcome back to Swoop's World on blogtalkradio.com, where we're interactive, live, and archived. You can always reach us at swoopsworld.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're happy tonight that we were able to have actress Yancey Butler as our guest. We're kind of wrapping things up now. She was a big treat to have on. We're looking forward to Friday night, first Friday's Bixby Knowles, and we're going to be broadcasting live at 8 o'clock from the Mirage Mediterranean Grill, where Michelle Mangione will be performing along with others. Peter, you back with me?
I sure am. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing Michelle. I love hearing Michelle play. So, yeah, that should be a good show, and she always brings in a nice big crowd, so it should be fun. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We had the pleasure of sitting right across from her playing last Sunday at the Farmer's Market. She we got to get a little preview of what's to come Friday night, I believe.
Yeah, and she's such a natural. She's so good, interacting with the crowd. You see some people up there, they're great musicians, but they're just not at ease, and they don't interact with the crowd, and she does that so naturally. She had kids up there banging on the drums and playing like little guitars and ukuleles, I don't know what they were, and everybody was having fun, and so, you know, she's just a great performer and a really nice person.
You know, you're right about that. I mean, I go places with my son, and he's 12, and he usually has the iPod in his ears, and he's playing his DX or whatever it is he's playing. And, you know, every time we've been at a Michelle event, he will pick up a tambourine, and he'll try to play the tambourine or grab a shaker of some kind and participate. And, you know, she's so good at getting kids involved and getting them inspired with music and things like that. And, you know, I really appreciate that because, it's fun to be able to go some places like that and see some performances and not have my kids sit there and go, can we leave yet? Can we go now? Can we leave yet? So
I like to thank
her for that.
Yeah, because you hear that a lot, don't you? Can we go down?
I do. hey, you think sitting in the city council was a blast?
Oh, my God.
He's like, how much longer, man?
Yeah, he's going to remember that forever, and he's going to be like 20, 30, 40 years old and go, dude, there was that time my dad took me to the city council meeting. Oh, my God. You know, he's going to hate you for that. He's got to probably have therapy for that, dude.
I'm pretty sure he was at school saying that today.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, you know what? Long Beach, thanks a lot for listening to Swoop's World Radio. We're here with you every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Join us Friday night. Come on out. Come on out to First Fridays. Things happen around there starting at 6 o'clock. You got Nino's. You got the Gallery Expo. A lot of things going up and down the avenue. And then head on down to the Mirage Mediterranean Grill at 8 o'clock. Come in and visit and say hi to Swoop and Peter. Take in the show and enjoy the evening. So we're looking forward to seeing you there. If not, we'll see you back next Wednesday night. So good night, Long Beach, and thanks a lot for listening.
Good night.